So today, I'd like to talk about worry and anxiety. And I say this because for my own, well, even before that, I was thinking of this, and then yesterday, and the thing it came up. Maybe some of you are aware, but it said the debate's coming up on Tuesday between Trump and Harris, and I felt anxiety, I felt worry, especially because I read the commentary about the expectations. And clearly, it's the media is since it's doing this exactly, right? It's achieving its goal. I was the pawn. I took this the line and the sinker, and I reacted, but it's not just me. This is what I've learned, is that it's never personal, and it's not about me. It's about all of us, and we're all having a moment of worry, yeah. And also, if you listen to some teachers say 10, 20 years ago, we're already talking about we're continuing to build a society of worry, of restlessness, that the baseline of our society is that. And that was 20, 30 years ago. Now imagine, imagine today, 20, 30 years later, and that some of this worry, it's not just the acute things that come up, right? So my response or my reaction was for a very particular thing, the glimpse of this news. And then the commentary, just one line or two lines. And then I noticed immediately, wow, like I felt it in my chest, I felt it in my belly, my body contracted. And I thought, okay, so this is what a lot of us are going through right now. So there's already a layer, a foundation, if you will. A foundation, if you will, of a worry, as a society that worries. I remember, and this was like 8 years ago, that I read a research paper that said that what in the clinician's office, mental health clinician, what was diagnosed 30 years as an anxiety is no longer diagnosed as an anxiety because it's just been normalized because everyone's showing up like this. Yeah. So even what we would call a normal resting state, we've allowed now to shift. What normal now is just walking around with a level of anxiety. Yeah. And so then acute things that are coming up, and our society, our world is, there's lots going on. Yeah, it's not just in the United States and this upcoming election. It's there are wars, there are conflicts, there's climate change, there's any one day what might happen if so and so wins. And so there's all this. On top of this growing foundation, if you will, the acute things that add to it, right? It's like that. So I thought, oh, it's good to us for us to revisit worry and anxiety and how it gets formed in our consciousness, and then of course how we take good care of it. In a general way, just in a continuous way so we can contribute to society having a foundation that's not of worry, and then so that when the acute things come up, we don't keep building on it, right? And it's part of our healing. Yeah, it's part of our healing. So there's a great sutra. You know, there's a teaching for everything in Buddhism. And if you don't know this by now, there is. So there's a sutra called actually Grasping and Worry. Because, you know, the Buddha was very practical. And he received lots of questions about very practical things. So this one is in, I'll put it in the chat for those who might want to take a closer look at it. I think it's 22:7. Yeah. So it's this Samyutta Nikaya 22:7, grasping and worry, or worry and grasping. Okay. So it's just good to see how the Dharma handles, right? Handles this, right? It's good to come back and always remember. And I'm not saying that when we have worry and like that, that we must then go back and do this like cognitive exercise. And yet it's good to understand why it is that we do practice mindfulness and we do this training, because it's taking care of that pathway that leads and results in worry. So what we understand in the Dharma is that worry comes from expectations. Right. So my worry this morning or yesterday was, I have an expectation, right? I do not want Donald Trump to win the election in the United States this year, 2024. So my expectation is that Kamala Harris wins. So when I see a debate, it offers like a potential that is going to make a, have an impact on that outcome I want. I have an expectation of a particular goal. I have an outcome in mind. And so when I cling and grasp to that, right, it's all about this grasping, right? So I have that and I'm preoccupied. And so then when, and even if I'm not preoccupied, because I can't say that I follow it, like I didn't even know there was a debate until that I saw that. So I can't say I follow it. I don't listen to the debates. I mean, if you do, that's great. I get my debate information from my mother, which comes with commentary. So I'm good. I'm not, but in my consciousness, clearly I am, there is a clinging and an expectation and a preoccupation, isn't there? Even though I don't like stay on the internet or read or get follow up or you know have political discussions so much, not so much. I mean, I will share my view about who I want to win. But even when it's not so much present, like we think it's a preoccupation of an expectation, often it's still in our consciousness, right? It may not be right front, we're still going on with our everyday life. And yet the thing is still there. So there's this preoccupation with a particular outcome that I have. And so when I see this news, I have worry. I have, and it becomes, and I feel it in my body. So today we did this meditation on noticing how worry shows up, right? And really becoming familiar with it. Right, because that's one of the ways we take care of it, is we have to know it's there. And it's not just in the mind, the thinking is there. And sometimes it's fleeting. the mind also has this response in the body. And so when worry comes up, being able to drop in your body and notice, oh, I see you, my worry, and I got you. I'm going to take good care of you, right? And maybe in that moment, if it's an acute thing, maybe in that moment you're not getting into the root of it, or you're simply seeing it and taking care of it. You know it's there. And just that awareness is already a step away from the unawareness, which is what really causes the havoc, is the lack of awareness of what is happening in our mind and our body, where we're overtaken by the thing. Okay, so we grasp, the grasping leads to expectation, and then it leads to this, we attach now to this outcome, right? I want this outcome. And then if we don't get that outcome, or even if we don't even know we're going to get that outcome or not, we have despair, we're stressed, we get fearful. What if, right? Then all the what ifs start happening. What if Trump wins? What if all this, this doctrine of, the Republican Party gets carried out, right? All these, the fear, right? And then the mind spins, and then the anxiety, and then the anger, yeah, the restlessness, then, right? And it's this cycle that is going on, and we can see the cycle more easily when something is happening right there. But what happened for me yesterday is what it let me know is it's there going on in my consciousness, and it's going on in my body. When something drops on it, like this headline, I see how I got triggered, and then I can more easily see it there and feel it in my body, right? But what it told me is you need to start taking care of this, because it's there, and you're getting, just from seeing a headline and reading two sentences, you were triggered, right? Now again, the whole way the media is set up is to trigger us. I'm sure you know that. But it's not just me, I'm sorry to say. It's all of us, If it was just me, I'd go in my corner and take care of my stuff. But what I've learned is I'm not unique, and it's not personal. And so, as a population, we're all, I have no idea who's, supporting one or the other, and, the people who aren't supporting either, which makes me cringe. And yet everyone has this, because it's a collective consciousness right now in the United States around the election. So whether you're for one candidate or the other, or neither candidate, we're all in this mess together right now, right? So we have a collective consciousness of restlessness and worry and grasping for a particular outcome. We're all in this boat right now. So just imagine when you look at it like that, that everybody, now of course there's people who, they'll tell you, I don't vote. It's gonna happen like this anyway. It doesn't matter what I do. Let's put aside that percentage of people and just stick with the people who are actively involved in this outcome, grasping at it, getting triggered like me when they see a headline. Even going toward it, meaning looking for it, right? I wasn't looking for it. It showed up on the, whatever thing I opened. And so we have this energy, this collective energy right now in the United States. And dare I say, it's not just the United States, because, when the United States has an itch, many countries scratch it, right? So it's not, we're not in this alone, in this case, in any case, and especially not in this case. But we'll stick to the United States. the collective consciousness of the United States is one right now of all the things that I just described as this process of preoccupation with something, a particular outcome, which then brings a worry, which then leads to a desire and an attachment to this worry, to this outcome, which then leads to more worry and distress. There's fear. I'm not going to get my outcome. What's going to happen? Then the story builds. There's restlessness, right? More anxiety, and then there's anger, and then it can go to rage, right? And it goes into this cycle, and it drops on a foundation that is already there, that we have other stuff that we haven't taken care of. So we get into this samsaric loop. Samsaric loop. Yeah. Okay. So, in the sutra, it says the unworldly, no, the un, what is it? The undisciplined worldling. Someone who has not been exposed to the teachings, who don't listen or know noble beings or wise teachers, and this is the un. The worldling that has no, that would be a lay person who has never been exposed to teachings of wisdom, teachings that help them to understand why they grasp, why they worry, why they have anxiety, why they become angry. But we are not that group, right? Right, people? We are the group that have been exposed to noble beings, the Buddha. Yeah, or any other noble being, Jesus, right? Muhammad, any noble being, and there are many, right? Who have given us information to help us understand this path of liberation, this path of peace and understanding, right? So we are in that category where, with the teachings, and we know no, we're now exposed to many more teachings than the time of the Buddha because of the, the vast access through the internet, and the teachings come to the West and they're presented in all different forms. There are many teachers teaching, so we are lucky in the fact that we have been exposed to the teachings, and so we have I won't say a responsibility, and yet, because we are exposed, have been exposed to the teachings, and we are practitioners, we sort of do have a responsibility to notice. Just like I did yesterday, I noticed, right? Doesn't mean, the teachings don't mean that we're like, oh, I read it, so now I don't react anymore. That's it, I'm done, right? I'm not grasping anymore. I don't have an outcome that I want anymore. No, it's, how do we take care of that? How does it not become something that takes up in settles in my foundational worry consciousness, grasping consciousness for some other thing, and keeps building this level of anxiety that I shared that seems to be just growing in the human population? So that's our responsibility as practitioners, to be able to notice when worry does arise, and notice when we're preoccupied, how it's taking over our thoughts, and how to not allow it to lead us into restlessness and anger and rage, right? That's our job. We have jobs as practitioners, right? We're not the untaught worldling. We are the exposed to the teachings worldling, which means we practice with that wisdom. Right, that's what the wisdom is noticing. And what are we noticing? We're noticing the three characteristics of all things: that it's impermanent, that if we think it's permanent, it's going to cause us to suffer, and that it's all connected to everything else. It's just not, there's no one individual self nature of it. It's dependent on other things. And so when we start to notice these things, then we begin to calm ourselves, and we begin to become more not just taken up with it, like the head in the water, it's submerged, and there, you're not breathing on your own anymore, but you're looking at the water. You can put your hand in the water, enjoy the feel of the water in your hand without being totally submerged in it and losing all our knowledge, our wisdom, our identity of who we are, and that we are in choice at all times, right? And so that's what the practice gives us. It gives us this ground of understanding how what the path is that leads us into this state of anxiety or worry, the grasping that leads us down that path. So the things change, we cling to things that change, and then we want it to stay always the same, and then we suffer. So how do we continuously learn it? Like, okay, so I understand you just said this is the path. Okay, so what do you do? Well, we study and we practice the teachings, right? Now, I'm going to offer several things that we always talk about. Mindfulness, you know, when you become, I mean, that's what happened for me, right? I became mindful and aware of my body. So the meditation today was to notice what's happening in our body when we think of something that brings worry. So that little thing that brought you worry, beginning to get very acquainted in your body and your mind of what happens when you worry. That's what mindfulness is, right? It's mindfulness of what's happening in that moment. That's what mindfulness is, right? That's why we practice mindful walking and mindful eating, so that as we're moving through everyday life and something happens, we're mindful of it. That's mindfulness in daily life, right? And so that's part of that is mindful of what's happening in the body, right? And so how does the body feel when I hear this or I hear that, whatever my thing is that leads me into that moment, right? And then what do I do? How do I take care of it, right? I mean, there are many things to take care of it, right? Is first of all, there's the more comprehensive long-term taking care of it, which is stopping, pausing, right? The ability to take your time like today and stop and say, oh, I'm going to come to practice for a couple hours and I'm going to use this time to notice, to pause, to breathe. Community of practice, this that's here too, right? Whatever you're practicing to bring pause in your life, whatever or wherever that community is, that's really important as well, especially in these times of heightened anxiety, is really to be in community with people who are practicing, who are intentional about taking good care of themselves in this time, acknowledging that we're in this collective consciousness of fear and anxiety, grasping for, and the unknown brings so much fear for many, many people. The unknown of a particular outcome in November can trigger the unknown of people's other things, things where there were unknowns that didn't end well, right? So all kinds of things come up. So the pausing and the practice helps us to still the mind and bring ourselves to calm and ease so we can be more clear, so we can discern, ah, I'm getting upset here, or I'm getting triggered here. Let me stop and breathe. Let me take good care of this, like we did in the meditation. And that can happen in any moment, right? I'm noticing, I'm naming it, right? This is happening. I'm taking care of it. I'm not pushing it away. It's like, okay, this is here right now. I've got you, right? I'm breathing. I'm taking care of it. I'm calming myself, right? So we're not pushing it away, but we're bringing another energy to help us take good care of it. That's what a practitioner does. A practitioner has all these resources and skillful tools at their disposal to not to hammer something down, but to bring them forward to take care and be with what is there, right? So we can use our breath, we can use our mindful steps, right? We can move our body, right? Something happens and we're maybe going into a little panic or something. You can move your body. Moving your body is a really good thing for trying to dislodge the mind that started down a rabbit hole. What I mean by that, I mean is going into anxiety or even a panic, right? We try our breath. Maybe the breath doesn't help, it can't come, and we move our body. We can just be standing up and walking, jumping, moving the arms, moving the legs, shaking, right? That's why shaking is so good, right? Shaking things out. Like literally, the emotion of anger or rage or anxiety is stuck. It's actually stuck. And so the shaking kind of starts to move that, right? So we can practice all these different things to begin to, in a moment, take care of that, but also over the long term. And what that means is our regular practice, right? A regular practice where we're actually, whatever it is for you, morning, evening, well, however long it is for you, we're actually dedicating some time in our lives where we're retraining this mind and heart. And it's the reason I talked just now about the fact that our foundation, our base, is higher than it was 50, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, of worry and anxiety. Because what that means is we have been running too much. We have been running too much. A restless person cannot, a restless person is a restless person. A restful person is a restful person. Right? So if we're going to help to bring this base that society is at down to a more calm level of foundational calm, we have to institute or continue in our lives a schedule of practice that helps to one drop at a time as one individual in society brings us back to calm. That's the pausing. That's whatever that practice is for you every day that can rebuild a foundation that can hold the acute things that come up, right? Because if so, yesterday, what could have happened, the scenario that could have happened was if I was less aware, I could have gone down a rabbit hole by clicking on the thing and getting into it and then following that rabbit hole, which I didn't do, right? I read it and I noticed and I moved on. And my moving on was breathing, noticing, and saying, this is something that needs to be taken care of, right? So that's the kind of thing that can happen when we're in practice. But when we're not in practice, we leave ourselves at risk for continuing going through the rut, whatever it is. I'm just giving one scenario. It could be anything, an engagement with a person at work or at school or on the bus that says something that's triggering. What is our ability to notice what is happening in us before we respond externally? Is noticing what is happening internally. Yeah. The saying about the house on fire. I say this often. If the house is on fire, you don't go running after the person who set the house on fire. You put the fire out because when you run after the person who caused the fire, the house may burn down. But you put the fire out and then you take care of the cause, right? So that's the same thing. Whatever is externally, and sometimes it's internal as well, right? Whatever triggers us, it's a noting internally, what is happening here? What is happening in my body? And again, the meditation was for us to notice our body, get familiar with what does worry feel like here inside this body? Where does it show up? Is there a certain thing about it? And what does calm feel like? And notice that in the body. What does hopefulness, right, feel like in this body? The last thing I want to say is that rest is a part of allowing us to develop the calm. So if we're always moving, we're in a state of restlessness. Restlessness is, does not allow us to develop the skills and the tools to take care of what happens in everyday life. So the pause and that rest, and I'm naming rest specifically because when I say pause, I know it could mean, oh, you know, pausing for a breath or like that. And that's part of it. And rest, when there is rest, rest allows something else to show up than when rest is not there. Yeah. Because restlessness is like energy is just moving like this, right? It's like the water that's like the very wavy and it's very windy, and you can't see anything. You don't know what's there because it's so all the dirt from the ground is coming up. But when there's rest, the waves are more calm. You can see down. Well, what is there? What is here in my mind? Oh, I'm feeling this. Oh, I want to do something that brings joy today. I haven't done that today. I want to water my seeds of gratitude. Yeah. Because in a moment also of anxiety or worry, watering our seeds of gratitude and watering our seeds of kindness is really important. It's one of those antidotes, if you will, right? The breathing, moving the body, doing an act of kindness, right? We get triggered. We're like hot. We're on fire. We don't know what to do. We do an act of kindness. We do something for someone, or we remember something that we're very grateful for in the midst of something that seems very difficult and challenging. We worry about someone, right? So, my decision when I read the thing was I'm going to send loving kindness to Kamala on Tuesday. And so you might think, well, what's that going to do? Well, what it's not going to do is it's going to bring calm and ease to her, right? And out of a space and calm and ease is where we get clarity, right? And when we're being attacked, especially if we're being attacked violently, which attack is already violent, particularly in these situations of these debates, they're quite violent, actually, aren't they? And so sending someone loving kindness and compassion to me is helping them build that up. So they can be fully present and not get knocked over. And so for me, that was my antidote to that was, oh, you're worried about her because you're worried about how she's going to be violated and the result of that. Okay, I'm going to send her loving kindness and send her lots of energy of peace and stability and solidity. Right? And so we can all do that when we're worried about someone instead of getting caught up in that rabbit hole. But in order to do that, to get to that place where we're making a choice on how to take care of this, we have to come back to ourselves. That means we have to breathe. That means we have to get present to what's going on in us. And so in order to have the wherewithal to do that, we have to have had a practice that have been training us to do that. That's where the pausing and the regular schedule of meditation or mindfulness or whatever it is that you're doing. So I'll stop there and I thank you for listening. And we'll let all that go and listen to a sound of the bell. So it's Marisol bowing back in. It's our opportunity to share the Dharma with each other, what is on our hearts, how the practice is supporting or not supporting, just anything that's up. And so these are some guidelines to help us, to guide us and help us support this way of sharing the Dharma as we practice. We can share two or three of the just the first sentence, the italicized portion. We can take turns. I'll share the first three. We practice loving, mindful, nonviolent speech that water our positive seeds. We practice deep listening. All that is shared in the circle stays in the circle.